This episode is brought to you by Odd Mo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans. And its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Sick of wearing a face mask yet? Of course you are. Well, we've got good news for you. Fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear masks or physically distance in most public settings in Oregon. Following new guidance issued by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention Thursday, which Governor Kate Brown echoed later that day, the new CDC guideline says those who have been fully vaccinated are no longer required to wear a mask or physically distance in any setting, except where required by federal, state, local, tribal, or territorial laws, rules, or regulations, including local businesses and workplace guidance. The CDC acknowledged that indoor and outdoor activities pose minimal risk to fully vaccinated people and that they pose a reduced risk of transmitting COVID-19 to unvaccinated people. However, though rare, it is possible for a vaccinated person to contract the virus, something known as a breakthrough case. So, those who test positive or begin experiencing symptoms should still follow quarantine protocols. After issuing new guidelines this week linking county and business reopenings to vaccination rates, while leaving most mask and distancing requirements in place, Brown announced late Thursday that Oregon would follow suit with the CDC. It is yet another sign that if we continue to do our part, the pandemic is coming closer to an end, Brown said in a video statement. Starting today, Oregon will be following this guidance, which only applies to fully vaccinated individuals, Brown said in a video statement. There are a few exceptions where masks and distancing will still be required, even for the fully vaccinated, including public transportation, hospitals and healthcare clinics, correctional facilities, and long-term care facilities. The new guidance also does not apply to schools, Brown said. Nothing is changing for schools this year, and I expect education staff and students to continue to wear their masks and physically distance, as outlined in our Ready Schools Safe Learners guidance, she said. Those with compromised immune systems or increased risk factors should follow the recommendations of their healthcare provider when it comes to personal protective measures. The Oregon Health Authority, OHA, will be updating its guidance to provide employers with greater flexibility to cut back on masking and physical distancing requirements for fully vaccinated employees, Brown says. However, it is not required that all businesses adopt new masking and physical distancing policies. Some businesses may prefer to simply continue operating under the current guidance for now, rather than worrying about verifying vaccination status, and that's fine, Brown said. The new CDC guidance gives Oregonians a choice of how to protect themselves and others from COVID-19, Brown said. Either get vaccinated or continue to wear a mask and follow physical distancing requirements. The new CDC guidance makes it clear that vaccines are the best tool to protect yourself and everyone around you, Brown said. Vaccines are also the fastest way to get back to doing the things we love and to returning to a sense of normalcy. For information about COVID-19 vaccination clinics and the availability in Clackamas County, visit clackamas.us/coronavirus/vaccine. Call 211 or email questions to covidvaccine@clackamas.us. Do Children and teenagers aged 12 to 15 are now able to receive the Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine in Clackamas County after the Food and Drug Administration authorized its use and a Western State Scientific Work Group found it safe and effective on the age group. The Western State Scientific Safety Review Workshop reviewed the federal process this week and unanimously concluded that the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine is safe and effective for youth ages 12 to 15, according to a press release. The work group provided its confirmation to the governors of California, Nevada, Oregon, and Washington Wednesday evening, and the Oregon Health Authority informed healthcare providers that vaccines for 12 to 15-year-olds could begin in Oregon as early as Thursday. The FDA authorized the use of the vaccine in 12 to 15-year-olds on Monday, and the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices affirmed that decision on Wednesday. This is great news for Oregon children, parents, and families, Brown said. Vaccination is the best tool we have to protect ourselves and our loved ones. It is completely normal for parents and kids to have questions about vaccines. I urge you to reach out to your family doctor or pharmacist to get your questions answered today. Vaccination clinics in Clackamas County are already accommodating youth and children newly eligible to receive the jab, including one scheduled for May 17th at Ackerman Center for students aged 12 to 18 and their families. Parental consent is required for those 12 to 14 who wish to receive the vaccine. For information about COVID-19 vaccination clinics and availability in Clackamas County, visit clackamas.us/coronavirus/vaccine. Call 211 or email questions to covidvaccine@clackamas.us. Washington, Oregon, and Nevada joined California's COVID-19 Scientific Safety Review Workgroup in October. The workgroup, made up of nationally recognized scientists with expertise in immunization and public health, has concurrently and independently reviewed the FDA's actions related to COVID-19 vaccines. It will continue to evaluate other COVID-19 vaccines as they go through the federal process. Known for its quaint antique shops and charming colonial history, Aurora is now home to its own downtown cannabis dispensary. And if you were expecting there to be a ferocious pushback in this very small town of barely 1,000 souls, you'd be sorely mistaken. Justice Cannabis Company officially opened with a ribbon-cutting ceremony Friday, with the mayor and three city council members in attendance. Quipped Aurora City Councilor John Barrard, quote, "Hey, just because we were founded in the 19th century doesn't mean we can't live in the 21st century." Located on Highway 99E next to the Aurora Colony Pub, the dispensary is licensed for both recreational and medicinal marijuana sales and is open daily from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. The shop is owned by Samantha and Dalton Justice, also growers who operate Orgo Farms. The high school sweethearts grew up in Canby before earning degrees at Oregon State University and returning to the area to start their farm. Dalton's origin story as a cannabis grower may not be what you'd expect. The pre-med student was working at an electrophysiology lab when one of his supervisors dumped a stack of publications on his desk, all, it turns out, on cannabis research. "I thought she wanted me to read them," he recalled with a laugh. "Turns out she was just cleaning out her desk, but I read them all, and that's how I got my start." The Justices began growing in 2015, eventually founding Orgo Farms, a well-regarded boutique producer known for high-quality indoor and outdoor cannabis. They have been steadily working toward opening their own dispensary and are thrilled to be able to do so in a small community so close to their roots. "We can't believe that we got into a place where we already feel so at home and can really invest in the community," Samantha said. "We just want anybody who walks in here to feel comfortable and have a positive experience." For more information about Justice Cannabis Co.'s products and services, visit their website, 21 and older only. Call them at 503-776-9040 or email justicecannabiscompany@gmail.com. Aurora has technically allowed dispensaries since the drug was legalized in Oregon and therefore receives a cut of the state's marijuana revenue. Still, an actual dispensary in the town seemed unlikely because the use was banned in Aurora's historic district, which includes most of the small commercial spaces that would make sense for retail marijuana sales. That changed in February 2020 when the Aurora City Council approved a change to the municipal code, allowing medical and recreational cannabis shops in the historic downtown core under certain conditions. The justices were involved in that process and spoke positively about working with the city and officials to bring the budding new industry into downtown Aurora. Another nearby dispensary, the Green Planet, opened for recreational and medical cannabis sales earlier this year in unincorporated Clackamas County between Aurora and Canby. Neighboring Canby does not allow marijuana business of any type, a prohibition shared by other mid-sized cities in Clackamas County, such as Lake Oswego, West Lynn, and Wilsonville. Almost 60% of Canby residents favored the ban in 2016 general election, the last time it was put to a vote. But some communities have reversed course in the years after recreational marijuana was legalized. Just last year, Sherwood, a similarly sized city in Washington County, voted to allow cannabis businesses after voters there had rejected the same measures in 2016 and 17. Plans to redevelop the former Blue Heron paper mill in Oregon City got a boost this week as the federal government announced it is granting $800,000 to the property for brownfield assessment and cleanup. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency regularly gives out funding to help assess and clean up such properties as part of its brownfields program. The brownfields are properties that may have hazardous pollutants or other contaminants present that complicate their redevelopment, expansion, or reuse. The EPA this week announced a slate of $2.3 million such grants for Oregon groups, including the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, which purchased the former Blue Heron site in 2019. Others in Oregon chosen for funding were the South Central Oregon Economic Development District, $600,000, Baker Technical Institute, $600,000, and the City of Chilcoyne, $300,000. The Blue Heron paper mill closed in 2011 after it went through several owners. The Willamette Falls Legacy Project came together several years ago, a collaborative effort to redevelop the property for public use by the state, county, Oregon City, and Metro. The Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde publicized their ambitious plans for the area in March, which acknowledged the need for environmental remediation due to more than a century of industrial use. Tribe leaders say the grant will fund environmental testing and decommissioning of underground storage tanks and allow for larger remediation plans that focus on repurposing portions of the site and preparing for demolition. As caretakers of the Willamette Falls area, we're thankful for the EPA and this funding, said Cheryl A. Kennedy, chairwoman of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde. Tending to the land by addressing the environmental remediation needs will help ensure that the tribe's vision can be fully implemented across the site and bring people back to the Willamette Falls. The tribe's vision calls for a restored riverbank with native vegetation and new gathering places. Multi-use spaces such as offices, housings, a higher education facility, commercial units, and other developments may be in the cards for the 23-acre site. It's really all about our tribal, state, and local partners, Michelle Preside, the EPA's acting regional administrator in Seattle, said in the grant announcement. They have enthusiastically embraced brownfields redevelopment and its positive community impact. Time and time again, we see how strong local leadership coupled with the infusion of federal funds can breathe new life into idle properties.
Hey Tyler, I was reading an article the other day and I saw that 53% of Americans say they value technology even more since the COVID outbreak. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that article in Obvious News Weekly.
Okay, you don't have to be mean.
Seriously, though, it is true. I know that I can't function anymore without all of my connected devices. And I heard that DirectLink saw a huge spike in internet traffic after the stay-at-home order began last year.
Yeah, it's a good thing DirectLink works hard to provide constant, reliable broadband service even during tough weather, peak use hours, and that big jump in increased demand.
Right, and we need access to a quality connection more than ever. We're working from home, the kids are still distance learning, and I've even had a few online doctor's appointments.
Yeah, not only that, but so many of our entertainment options have gone virtual. They're streaming TV shows and movies, Zoom game nights, and online gaming, so people really need reliable internet.
Wait. With all of that extra online activity going on, don't we have to worry about usage limits and high bills from using too much data?
Come on, Tyler. How many times have we been over this? DirectLink doesn't have data caps and doesn't charge extra fees for high usage. It says so right there on their website. Visit directlink.coop today to learn more.
You don't have to be mean about it.
All right, we're here at Wayward Sandwiches with owner and founder and chief winologist, Matt Morrissey.
Preferred chief bottle washer.
Oh, okay, yeah. Chief bottle washer. Matt, how are you doing, man?
Good.
A little tired?
Good. Yeah, well, you know, welcome to life.
Right. But we are actually going to be talking not about Wayward, but about a new venture that's coming down the pike. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so we running out of kitchen space, or have very quickly here at Wayward, and so we've kind of been trying to think of creative ways to address that.
Expand your footprint a little bit.
Expand our footprint a little bit, and also, you know, get another thing going.
Yeah.
So we found a space for a little cocktail bar, a whiskey bar, cocktail bar, that will have a full liquor license. It'll be 21 plus, but it'll focus on making really good, solid, classic cocktails. Mm. So we're not trying to do anything super weird. We're just trying to make really good drinks. So there's a little space. It's the old Balance and Harmony yoga space on Grant Street.
Yeah.
They moved to New York, and that space became available, and we were able to work out something with the landlord. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of getting into the thick of it now. All of the licensing has been applied for, and
awesome.
We're hoping for maybe August, but the space itself will be probably about 50 seats. So not too big, but you know, decent size. And unlike Wayward, we'll have some TVs in there if people want to watch a game. And unlike Wayward, we will also have some lottery, some video lottery machines. That's part of the 21 plus thing there. We will serve, Wayward food there, but in addition to that, we will have the kitchen there. We'll work on some other lighter fare. So we'll definitely be doing oysters there.
Yep.
We'll be working on some other fun meat type stuff, like there's the pâtés and terrines, but we'll doing some, in addition to the wings that we have here at Wayward, we'll do a kind of a baked wing thing that's going to be really good.
Cool.
We're thinking about doing some scratch-made jalapeno poppers and maybe some hand pies and all sorts of stuff
that
we can do.
Over there.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. It's a little ironic, right? Because when I get into my whiskey, I sometimes have trouble with balance. So you guys are going to be...
Yes. We're going to have to find a way to plug that.
Play with that a little bit.
For sure.
Yeah. You guys are almost as good with the puns as me.
No, not. No, we in no way are trying to take your mantle.
So you're not going to do anything? You're not going to do like a pastrami margarita?
No pastrami. We'll keep the pastrami on the Reuben.
Spiritually, I guess, you're calling it Siren Song.
Yeah, Siren
You've
Song.
Got the sort of adventurous and kind of the sea theme little bit here at Wayward. Is that kind of a spiritual
I've always, I'm sort of drawn to water in general. And the thought there was that so there's this old mythology. So the sirens were these winged creatures who would be on the shore, and they would call the sailors and sort of entrance the sailors, and then the sailors would sail into these rocky cliffs and die.
Right.
And famously, the Argonauts and the Argo.
Right.
So they tied the Jason tied himself to the masthead of the ship so that he wouldn't be driven to his own death by
the... Right. So, like, everybody else plugged their ears, but he wanted to hear the song but without dying. So,
you know, the idea is... the idea was just that... So, there's a long wall in the space that's about 36, 37 feet long. Mm. So, we've been in touch with a woman who does these really cool murals. Oh, cool. And so, we're going to have a 37-by-8-foot mural...
Here in town?
In the space, in the bar space.
But the muralist, is it somebody local?
The woman we were referred to is actually out of Bend.
Okay, cool.
But she does work all around.
I love that idea to have a mural in there. Yeah, that's awesome.
So we're just excited about the prospect of it. And it definitely ties into sort of our quirky vibe over here.
So you said about 50 seats going to be, is it going to be mostly booze in
there? So it's going to be a mix of, we'll have, I'm not sure exactly how many seats we'll end up with at the countertop. It's probably somewhere 10, a dozen.
Yeah.
The bar top. And then we'll have a couple high top tables in the middle, but the windows spaces, there's these two kind of bay window areas that we'll build in custom booths. That are going to be made by a gentleman who lives locally here in Canby. He's something like, I think, fourth or fifth generation furniture builder and upholsterer.
Yeah.
So we're getting these really cool red vinyl, diamond-backed custom booths that are built in. And so that'll be neat. Yeah. And then, we're trying to source some other... neat pieces, trying to get a line on some local wood for the bar top, and then I'm trying to find a really neat old bar, back bar piece, like from an old, you know, so I'm in touch with Aurora Mills and just kind of looking around.
Yeah, like some wood from the Argo, you know.
Yeah,
wood, you know,
cool, exactly.
Something like that.
Some
from ancient
Greece. Tortured wood.
Yes.
Some tortured wood.
How long is the bar? When you were kind enough to show me the space, it seems like, I mean,
so
that has some angles to it.
It has some angles to it. I want to say it's the long run of it is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of... probably right around 20 feet.
Yeah.
So it's not super long, but and there's a couple other little
pieces
jogs to it, but it should be neat.
Yeah, awesome. And as far as wanting to do that kind of concept here, is that something that you've been wanting to do for a while?
Seen
the need for it here?
I think for us it's a matter of trying to find things that that aren't necessarily being done currently.
Yeah.
I think that we're always trying to innovate for ourselves, to keep ourselves sort of, interested and engaged with what we're doing. And there is several wonderful bars in town.
Yeah.
But what we're doing, I think, is going to be a little different. We'll focus on, we'll make our own bitters, and we'll squeeze fresh juice every day, and these little touches that not that other places aren't doing a great job, not saying that at all, but things that are maybe it's a cocktail bar that isn't really, nobody's trying to or focused
on.
It's
just nice to have options.
Yeah,
like, it's
exactly.
Not like you can only go to one. Like,
no, exactly. So. And also we're so bullish on this downtown area what hopefully, is next year with the library going, with the beer library going in, and then at some point some of these other spaces downtown filling in with hospitality concepts. We think that this little downtown area is really going to be a destination area for folks. So, we're excited to add a second, business to the offerings down here.
Yeah. Awesome. Music?
We'll see. That space is not huge.
Yeah.
So, that might be tight. I mean, certainly not while we're still in COVID land. But over time, we'll see. I mean, there's no residential there on Grant, so I don't think that anyone would care if we did do it. So we'll see. That's one of those things. We'll play it by ear, and we'll certainly do something.
Yeah.
But it's a little early to tell what that's going to look like.
Sure. Okay. Cool. Do you have a time frame in mind?
We're hoping for August. There is a chance that we'll catch July, but then there's every chance that we won't. We will run into stumbling blocks, and we won't be open until who knows October. So. We're hopeful. We're keeping our eyes on the prize and our fingers crossed.
Yeah. You guys got a crew working in there for you? Or are you kind of doing some of it yourself?
No, I mean we'll paint the place and do some things, but no. KHC Incorporated Ken Hostetler Construction is
who we worked with for Wayward.
They did our work here, and they're local. They're local to Canby. We love them. They do great work, and so. They're doing the work for us, we'll definitely be using as much local, just like we did for Wayward. We'll continue to use a ton of local business.
I can't wait to see what Legos you put in that box.
Awesome. I'm thinking there's a lot of really nice oak out on the market now from the old windstorm. Yeah. So
speaking of tortured wood,
I know. So we're thinking we might do oak for the bar top.
Yeah, awesome, cool. Well, Matt, thanks so much.
Yeah,
best
you.
Of luck. I think it's an awesome.
Thank
concept.
You. Appreciate it.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate, and we got in a carriage ride with the horse, and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime. I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me. Three generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? We have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Joining us again on Now Hear This Canby are Bethany and David Zito of Bee's Bake Shop. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, and welcome back onto the show.
Thanks.
So how's it going? How's life in the bakery scene?
It's going well. We get to have people inside again tomorrow, dining inside, so that's really exciting.
Hopefully it stays that way.
After the grueling 4-day, 5-day shutdown, but mercifully short, right?
Yes, that was
good news. And we were just chatting before we started recording, but coming up on a year, it's kind of crazy. July will be the 1 year.
End of July.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like it, that's
no,
for sure.
It does not.
It feels shorter or longer?
It feels a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Even though we've gone through 2 shutdowns, we've gone through the fire, the ice storm. Feel like they're holidays, all the holidays.
Power outage, so,
Yeah.
It has not been boring.
No, definitely not.
A boring first year. So probably not what you were anticipating when you came up with this idea for a business.
No,
not quite.
We kind of thought a little more stable, but whatever.
Yeah. I'd love to hear, obviously things have been so crazy with everything going on. Talking about your menu and the things that you offer. I know one thing that you added kind of early on was sandwiches and salads, kind of more sort of meal type things. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear, and we'll dig more into the details, but kind of how your initial thought about what you would offer and what your menu would look like maybe changed once you actually got into business and kind of heard from customers about what they wanted to see.
Yeah, well, let's see. We're definitely doing a little more dessert type things. Mm-hmm.
More dessert?
Yeah,
okay.
more sweet, more dessert, mm-hmm. more like truffles and confections.
Yeah, I'll also tell the listeners we're outside. Oh, we're just outside these bake shops, so there's not cars going through the bakery.
Yeah.
No drive-thru yet.
Yeah.
Drive-thru bakery.
Anyway, go ahead, Bethany. Sorry about that.
That's fine. Yeah, we're definitely doing more sweets and desserts than we thought we would, and less breakfast pastries.
Yeah, a little bit. Less breads in general, too, at this point, than we anticipated. Yeah,
less breads than anticipated.
That was a big thing you were thinking was going to be the breads.
Yeah, because doing all the markets, that was kind of the, that was always the first thing that went, mm-hmm. and I made a lot.
Yeah.
Granted, that was once a week, but yeah, so we're doing less breads, but I think people just need to know that we're doing bread and are rotating bread menu and like what days we do certain things. And we started a little bread card to get more sales.
For like punches and
stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Card. So how does that work?
Well, for right now, it's you buy 6 loaves and you get the 7th for free.
Fresh only.
Nice. So that way you can try a different variety of things.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll tweak that down the road as the bread sales get higher. But
Well, what are some of the breads that you offer?
Well, our biggest, our house sourdough is definitely the biggest seller, and that's uses my starter, and we use a decent amount of dark rye flour in the house sour, and that's our...
A little bit of a house recipe, sounds like.
Yeah, kind of like a Northwest sourdough.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that there's that one, and
pretty
then...
popular.
That's popular.
Yes. Yeah.
The baguettes are popular, nice and crusty.
Mm-hmm. Focaccia, for sure.
Yeah.
It goes up and down, but that's a unique one. People definitely try to seek out more often.
Yeah. And what's unique about that one?
Oh, we use some of the sourdough starter in with that, so it gets a little more lighter and fluffier and hint of sour nose to it.
It's a high moisture content too, so it's a little spongier, but the crust gets really crusty. Yeah. So.
And you sell them all as loaves or as slice?
We sell them all as loaves, but we have a bread slicer now that we can slice up most of the loaves.
If people request it, cool.
Yeah, one of our most requested sourdough flavors is the apple cheddar walnut, which kind of took us by surprise. We thought people would be a little weirded out by that, but people will come in specifically on Saturdays for that.
Right.
They'll call and make sure that they can get one.
That's very American though, right? Like, oh, there's cheese in this? I'll
yeah,
that.
That's right. True. Yeah, I know everything is better with cheese.
Right. I'll take the one with the cheese. In
definitely.
Awesome. What else?
The biscuits and the pretzel were our main focus, and
worked
some things around that.
And those started
out. You always
out.
Knew the pretzels were going to be a hit.
Yeah.
Yep, those started out and those continued to be a hit. And the honey rosemary biscuits are good. And we've, with our sandwich offerings, we started getting people coming in looking for more than just a pastry. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, let's build on this.
Doing croissants, so we, easy jump. We're already doing croissants and biscuits, so an easy jump to add some house-made stuffings and fillings in there. And they've been pretty well received.
Yeah, the Canadian bacon cheddar croissant is just, it's a more sandwich substantial type of ham and cheese croissant. So, that's been a really big seller, and people really love that. And then, the sausage cheesy egg biscuit is just like your big version of just, fast food biscuit sandwich.
So. A little bit better ingredients and things probably.
Yeah, we make all the sausage in-house, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
with a big sausage grinder.
Yep. Cube it up, grind it, mix it,
Awesome.
So, been, we've definitely not shifted our focus yet, but just hearing what people.
Yeah.
Which we expected to add onto it, we didn't expect so early to be adding on. But yeah, you know what? Why not? If we can make it happen, then let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. And people really love that, right? Like that they feel that they have some ownership in the process, and that people are listening to them.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. We like to do that with the podcast. You know, we pretend, oh, sure, we'll do that. Like, it's just pretend for us. No, I'm just kidding. we'll definitely do that story. Definitely.
I'll put that on my menu next week.
Awesome. Okay, so without giving away any secrets where you have to murder me, can you tell me how you make a pretzel?
So it's a straight dough. You can do sourdough in it, but it's just flour, water, yeast, salt, and then
I would already screw it up. I mean, you make it sound simple, but I guarantee you, I would find a way.
There's brown sugar in it. I've made them before using like malt sugar, for brewing and to make it a little more beer focused. But brown sugar. And
does that make it fluff up more, or just kind of change the taste?
The taste. It makes it a little sweet. And then when you bake it at the high temperature, the sweet kind of reacts and it caramelizes along with meeting with. And this is what we do is we use the lye, which is traditional Bavarian style pretzel. Instead of a baking soda or boiling, you use lye, which is typically found in soap or it's a heavy duty cleaner, but there's food grade and mixed with the right amount of water and then baked, it deactivates the chemical and turns it nice and dark brown and gives it the texture and flavor. So
cool.
Yeah, that's probably the little secret that a lot of people don't know.
You miss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, yeah. Pretzels, lye, science.
Yeah. I love how baking is like science that you can eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about, Bethany, obviously things have been so crazy. Like you even talked about open, close, you know, shut down, take out. You guys were doing farmers markets and doing kind of to-go things, having orders each week and whatnot before. The reason, and obviously no one saw the pandemic coming, but the reason that you guys wanted to have a shop here, I believe, right, was to sort of have a place where people can hang out together, kind of get to know people. You've been able to do that a little some here and there, but tell me about that. Obviously, that's probably been difficult to not be able to fully have that. And what do you hope to eventually be able to do once we're past this stuff?
Yeah, so we definitely...
You put so much thought and so much effort into this beautiful space that you created here at the Dahlia.
Yeah.
Only to have people like, okay, here's your thing, now go.
Right.
You can't stay.
we tried to create, and I think we did create, a really warm, cozy, feel, like a bright, sunny, cozy feel. And we've always wanted our tables full, people working in the on the tables, people meeting up for coffee. That didn't happen for a little while. Even though when we opened, we were allowed to have indoor dining, it took a while for people to like come in and sit down. And I feel like just before it was November, just before that first shutdown,
we were starting to get some regular
we were getting regular people, and our tables were full a lot of the time, and then that happened, and that was a big bummer. When we reopened for indoor dining in February, I feel like it took a little while for people to come out again and sit down and feel comfortable sitting down. And I hope it doesn't happen with the 1 week closure that we just had. I think people are ready.
Right.
But we have tables. We want to like entertain. We want to have people filling up the space, and we're working on our finishing up our sidewalk permit, and hopefully getting a few tables that we can put outside and just have some outdoor seating. Yeah, no tent or anything, but
no.
Just some nice tables.
We were just talking, David. David had to step aside to help some customers, which is good.
Yes.
Thank you for doing that. But just about kind of the whole reason of having Bee's Bake Shop and not just continuing to have orders like you guys were doing and doing the farmer's market and stuff is to have a space where people could linger and hang out. And you haven't really been able to fully embrace that yet.
No.
And we're just kind of talking about what you still hope this place can be.
Yeah, we definitely want to have a couple of regulars on the regular there enjoying and hanging out, having some coffee, and spending some time with us. We just want to get to a spot where we're just consistently having some people in there and this nice consistent swing of people in there.
Flow, ambiance.
Absolutely. Okay, well, in terms of food or new things coming up, are there special things that you still want to try or things that people can look forward to? Are you still kind of experimenting with things, or do you sort of
always
have your,
yeah
we're always we get bored with the same old so easily, so we're always thinking of something else that like would make our customers happy or that we want to try that we think would be good. Mm-hmm. And we're working on
it's a pretzel but it's got cheese inside of it now.
we did that with a brat sausage. It's okay. A pretzel wrapped brat.
Oh yeah, that was good. I actually had one of those.
So we did that. We're working on a pretzel, Bavarian style pretzel bagel of sorts. But we're not it's not going to be like a selection of bagels where you can come get a dozen. It's going to be everything, and we're working on a smoked salmon cream cheese filling spread for that. So that's still in the works, and we have to maybe hire somebody before we start doing that.
It's a fine line at the moment.
And then, of course, the s'mores bars.
Yeah, those will be back real
soon.
Those
will be back by the end of the month, by Memorial Day.
So. Okay, just in time for summer.
There's already anticipation for that.
Yep, so many requests.
Cool.
And then, see what people say. See if it makes sense and if we can make it happen. That's kind of how we come up with our ideas.
Looking forward to more berries and fun stuff being available very soon.
The season's changing.
You guys try to have like fresh produce and things, obviously berries, but like, you know, tomatoes and lettuce and things with your sandwiches.
We try
as
to
well.
Stay seasonal as much as we can and use the local farms around here. Definitely
Bauman's, we live in Hubbard, which is a little more south from here, and Bauman's in Jervis is close for us, and that's where we do a lot of our weekly shopping.
Pretty much every week,
Bauman's.
Oh my god, me too. There's ciders.
That's
our treat after shopping. But I mean, they have their frozen berries from the previous season year round, and that's definitely saved us in these awkward months where there's not a lot available. Trying to stay seasonal, local. I popped down to the farmer's market this past weekend and I saw strawberries, so I'm definitely gonna get some this
so
weekend.
Happy to see the first strawberries of the year.
Oh my god,
so cool. So Bees Bake Shop here at the Dahlia. Remind people your hours and your Facebooks and all the things that people can check you out on.
So we're open Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. And we're closed Monday and Tuesday. And then hours and...
social media.
I'm like,
and,
what is
and website, yeah.
So, Bees
Bake... It's been a long day, guys.
Oh, my God.
It's been a long year.
Our website is beesbakeshop.com, just as our name is. We keep our menus mostly updated and any special events and menus going on. And then Facebook and Instagram, Bees Bake Shop, same spelling. No Twitter. We don't do any of that extra stuff.
Good.
Oh, we can keep up with it right now.
Right. Well, you do a great job with the Facebook and Instagram. Thank you guys so much for taking time. And best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or that baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.